Welcome to the Tim Fowler Show, where production is paramount and we discuss the tools, time, and people associated with getting jobs done and making a profit. This episode of the Tim Fowler Show is brought to you by Wellborn Cabinet, kitchen and bath cabinetry made in the USA. Today, we will be talking about hiring right the first time with the help of special guest Doug Howard of Remodelers Advantage in Lithica, Maryland. Alongside Tim Fowler, I'm your co-host Steve Wheeler. Here is the Tim Fowler Show.
Hi, everyone. Tim Fowler here, and welcome to the Tim Fowler Show. So, we have spent a lot of time talking about finding good help, okay? Now, there's two key words in that statement. Number one is finding them, all right? Where are they? How do you find them? What, you know, where are they? And how do I get in touch with them? The other one is good help. Now, for many people, good help means they're already trained, they're 100% effective, and if I can really find somebody good, they're capable of just turning my ship around 100%. In other words, I need somebody that's a fantastic whatever, carpenter, production manager, whatever it is. And so what I want to talk about a little bit and what we're talking about today is that what I think is true is that the finding part is probably more about the hiring process than it is, or the good part is more about the hiring process than the qualities of this person. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about this hiring process, because every one of us has had this experience, right? We interview the golden child, and then when they're actually on the job, they just flop incredibly. Or maybe we've had the experience where we interviewed a couple of people and we hired the one we liked, right? I've heard people, we really liked this person, right? And then what? It's a flop. Now, it's not always a flop. I know that. But I do believe that in our industry, the percentages of finding that good employee through the hiring process are very, very low. And what we're trying to do is bring them up. And something like this takes process. It takes a system. It takes doing something that we know will give us the best chance of having somebody that will work with our company. And so that's what we want to be talking about. So Doug's been with us before. Doug is one of our coworkers at Remodelers Advantage. His experience in business, absolutely invaluable to me. I've learned a lot from him. And one of his amazing qualities is that he very, very quickly dug in and started understanding like what's going on in the remodeling / building world. But probably one of the things that he brings to this is he doesn't have that experience that says, oh, we're different, right? He has business experience, and then he brings it into remodeling and he says, you know what? Business is business. We're not special. We're not like, oh, we can't do that here. We can do it here. It's just a matter of getting rid of some of those stereotypes that we have as a business. Now, there's another reason why we're having Doug on today. And I don't know if you've ever noticed that when an actor releases a new movie, a great number of their older movies show up on TV. It's marketing. They're marketing the movie. So I'm just going to give you a fair warning that at some point during this podcast, we're going to introduce something that Remodelers Advantage has to help you do better hiring. So we wanted Doug to come on, talk about his views of these things, and then we'll introduce you to what that new system is. So Steve, let's go ahead and get started.
Okay, let's go. So Doug Howard is the Director of Consulting Services for Remodelers Advantage, having joined the team in 2017. Doug is an entrepreneur and small business consultant with over 25 years of success in leading organizations, starting new organizations and assisting client companies as they start up and grow. He specialized in helping small and medium-sized businesses plan and implement the strategies that lead to successful and rapid growth. Today, he is working with remodelers across the country in areas such as budgeting, cash flow, growth, process improvement, profit enhancement, succession planning, and hiring. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
All right. So just give us a little bit of your experience with hiring people, just so we can build some credibility here.
Sure. So, well, as Steve mentioned, for about 17 years, I had a business of my own, an accounting practice. We were in four states, did a lot of hiring during that period of time for folks for our staff, but also participated in hiring for a number of our clients. Had about 1,000 small business clients over about a 12-year period of time. And then kind of leveled off. But anyhow, yeah, so we were very involved with our own hiring and then hiring with clients as well. And now, as a business coach from Ronald's Advantage, I mean, it really seems like hiring is something that gets discussed really every week. And right now, even more so, as people are trying to assess who they have on staff, what they want their staff to be able to do, kind of really reevaluating the business models that they have given all that's happened this year. So,
okay, cool. So I was talking with a contractor the other day, and one of the things they asked me was, is it always going to be this hard? Right. What I've seen over the years that I've been doing this kind of consulting is that businesses tend to struggle until they find the right people that fit for them. And then, I mean, there's always challenges, but then the path becomes a little bit smoother. And some of the more successful contractors that I've seen, both in our network and outside of it, the key for them has been finding one or two really key people. Does that ring true for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think any service business has to realize is that, you know, they have the product of what they produce, but it's really the product itself is very much delivered by the people they have on the team. Also the quality of life for the business owner, what they're able to do. You know, we hear our clients talk a lot about wanting to have time to focus on the business, growing the business. That's really hard to do when you're making up for the gaps of things that aren't the way they should be in terms of staff. So I always tell people the one of three things that always gets in the way of business growth is either time, people, or money. And people is probably the most challenging of all of those to me.
All right, cool. So what do you think is the single most important action or thing or something in a good hiring process? If you could put, I know there's more than just one, and we'll get to those in a minute, but if you could put, like, don't miss this one, what would that be?
Yeah, I think the first and foremost is really having a good objective plan for what you want the position to be. What the attributes of it should be, when you want to fill it, what the key components should be, what success criteria are. A lot of times folks fill for the particular situation they have and they work around the team that they have. But one of the things that we see folks do a really good job of when they're growing over a long period of time is really being able to lay out what the next round of hires is going to be and what it's going to take to be really successful in that position. And, you know, I think sometimes folks want to say, well, a salesman should always be this, or a production manager should always be that. And I think a lot of it has to do with finding the right mix for not only the position, but the culture of the company. And when folks have a good idea of that and a really, really good process, something that's not just done once in a while or done the best that they can, because I think the biggest challenge for most of the companies that we work with is they don't do this all the time. They don't hire right. dozens and dozens of people. Right. The things that they do over and over and over again are folks get really good at. Right. But hiring is one of those things that you do sort of sporadically. So it's really hard to get good at it. I think the other thing is really making sure that you create a process that takes it away, as you said, Tim, from the personality. Right. Most people don't realize that what it takes to be good in an interview has got nothing to do with what it takes to be good at that job a lot of the time. Right. So we're looking for someone detail oriented, someone that has particular technical knowledge, someone that can lead people. And we're evaluating them on how they sit in a room by themselves and how comical they are during the conversation, or how quick-witted they are with an answer for everything. And some of those things have nothing to do with the position that we're hiring them for. And so I think that's always a challenge.
So let's expand this thought about keeping in mind the next hire. It's like, what's the key thing there? I mean, it just makes so much sense to me, but give us a little more meat on the bone, so to speak, as to what that means. Does that mean I have a 5-year plan for who I want to hire and I start building out some of these qualifications as well as actions and things like that? Or does it mean that sometimes when you're hiring for a lead carpenter, a great designer walks in or something like that? Is there something like that going on?
Yeah, so I think there's two things. One is having a multi-year plan. And so I like when folks have a 3 to 5 year plan and can tell me what they believe their next 3 hires are going to be. Because a lot of balancing that time, people, money thing is, if I bring someone in, I've got to absorb their costs, but I also have to make sure that they can build capacity for me. So is it the designer before the production manager, or do we need another project manager? What's the right sequence for the plan that we've laid out, right? Part of that also goes to the idea that I like when the business owner defines what they want their job description to be 3 to 5 years from now, because a lot of times what business owners get left with is whatever's left over from what they don't have on the staff. But if they clearly define the job they want to have, which they ought to be able to do because they're the owner, they're going to stay motivated longer. They're going to like the work that they do. And we build a team around the things. So I always ask people, tell me if you have responsibility for 6 or 7 things in your company, sales, estimating, project management, whatever it is, understanding that the owner is responsible for everything ultimately,
yeah, right.
but direct responsibility, what's the first thing you'd give up and what's the last thing you'd give up? Let's make sure we're hiring to fill in those pieces. And then once you get that sequence, it's really important because exactly like what you said, Tim, is sometimes you might find exactly the right person for that second position you were going to hire. But if you know you're going to hire for it, it's a matter of time, you have a good framework for it, sometimes it can make a lot of sense not to pass on that applicant just because it's not the position that's open. And, you know, I always tell people that when I had my company, if I look back over, you know, a long period of time, the things that made me most successful were the people that I hired, some of the people I didn't, some of the things that were challenging were the people I hired that I shouldn't have. Almost every bit of it came down to people. I could not, even as a numbers guy, I couldn't tell you what my profit was in 2012, but I can tell you the people I had and when, right? But when do most people start looking to fill a position? It's when it becomes open, right? And it's really much more of a marketing process than people want to give it credit for. And I always remind folks, you would never wait for your last job to be finishing before you'd go fill the pipeline for the next job, except that's exactly what we do with hiring. And then we have the expectation that on this one day when you happen to have an opening, the very perfect candidate is going to not only be available, but they're going to find you, be enticed by what you put in the ad or what they've heard about your company, and the stars are going to align. That to me is a pretty low proposition for success, you know?
Yeah, I think it's probably a byproduct of the luxury of being able to do that 20 years ago. And most of us are living in the past. I mean, when I was a production manager, we literally could put an ad in the paper and get 4 or 5 good candidates for a lead carpenter position. And that just doesn't exist anymore. And we have to change the mode, I guess, of looking at it to being more more proactive and starting the plan a little further out. So you mentioned in one of your other comments there that the interview is not what you're hiring for. And so you mentioned that, you know, if we're looking for somebody who's good details or maybe good at planning, they're not going to know that by sitting in a room. Like, do you have any recommendations for, like, how do I know that this person is going to be the person that'll fill my expectations when I put them on the job site or in the estimating room or in the design room? This isn't just about production people. This is about hiring anybody. How do I get past the fact that everybody's putting on a show when they're interviewing, and how do I know what I'm going to get?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So I think part of it is, I mean, you can do a really good job with interviewing by really having a good set of questions prepared, a good set of understanding that really test not yes and no answers, not obvious answers to things, but things that really would demonstrate whether someone's been able to take initiative or to demonstrate that they've really been able to rally from a problem that was, you know, something very difficult, something that really gives them an opportunity to explain and let you explore. I think checking references can be very, very helpful. I really like when applicants come from somebody I know, you know, so to me, I want to hire someone from an ad about as much as I want to get a project from a cold call, right? I'd much rather have a strong referral, someone that knows the company's values, and says, hey, Doug, this is someone you'd really like to work with,
right?
So they can put two and two together. The other thing is, I think that really good interviews have some form of a test. You know, we take someone out to a job site. What do you see? What don't you like? What do you like? Or, you know, here's a chart of accounts. What are the six or seven things that jump out at you that you would absolutely want to ask questions about? Or, you know, if we were going to go and meet with a customer, you know, give me a sample of some of the questions you'd ask if you were coming up with that questionnaire. Things that actually demonstrate, first of all, if they've said they've done this stuff before, that they have. But secondly, that they're thinking about things the right way. A lot of times what we do is say, well, here's our checklist. What do you think? And an interviewee will say, that's great. And we go, yeah. Oh, excellent attitude, right? And so we really want to truly put them to the test. And I think that's true even very early on if they do come on board, because, you know, we want to make sure as soon as we can is it's a good fit. So I think that's really the biggest thing. And putting people in slightly uncomfortable positions, not in a mean way or a hazing sort of a way, but in a way that says, you know, if I just ask the 10 questions they know I'm going to ask and they've got their polished answers, none of us are learning anything, you know, and even for the applicant, you know, I think it's important to do a good job so that the applicant gets an idea of what they're getting themselves into. The best thing that can happen in an interview is that the company or the applicant decides it's not a good fit and they go their separate ways, right? Because it's like when you're in sales, and I know Steve is very familiar with this, you're trying to get through the no's, you're trying to get through the wrong answers to get to the one that's really the absolute right answer. And I think that's the way people should look at interviewing. What we look at is and say, we start the process and we're so desirous of filling a position. Sometimes is that we put attributes on that person and all of a sudden, you know, they start looking better and better. And then we start picturing what it's going to be like when they're on board and you can go back to taking Fridays off. And all of a sudden it's really hard, right, to discern and say, you know what, this may not be the right way to go.
Yeah. Well, let's take a really quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Cabinetry crafted by people who care. That's our motto here at Wellborn Cabinet. Every cabinet we make is crafted with hard work, pride, and attention to detail. Our doors are hand-sanded, and both framed and frameless options are available. We offer a wide selection of solid oak, maple, hickory, and cherry door styles in a variety of beautiful finishes. Proudly made in the USA, choose Wellborn. Cabinetry crafted by people who care.
Okay, Doug, so you mentioned a lot of things when you're looking for, you know, attitude and aptitude. You've got the job description. Is there a way that we can have, company culture is a, I'd say a buzzword, but it's a very important part of running a great company. But is there a framework for having somebody fit in a company culture? I mean, not only, you know, us as owners developing that, but having this person fit in. How can we test that?
So one of the things I encourage remodeling clients to do all the time is to create kind of a document, an understanding of what I call being the employer of choice, which kind of goes to this idea of not only marketing the position, but also telling a story about the company. And so a lot of times you'll read the first line of an ad and it says, you know, seeking a blah, blah, blah to do blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't tell you anything about the company or, you know, their values or anything like that. To me, in the same way that we want the best customers to find our companies, we should want the best talent to find our companies. So we want to talk about what's important to our company. You know, we're a company that prides ourselves on the finest details of, you know, whatever it is, so that someone that reads that ad and says, that's exactly the kind of place I want to be, is super motivated to apply, to go through the process, to go through the testing. And also someone that says, that doesn't sound like, you know, there are easier places to work than that. Or that sounds like a pretty uptight, you know, we want those people to find a different place, right? And so, but really understanding, and a lot of times people say, well, Doug, I can't be the employer of choice because we don't offer the highest salary or the most extensive benefits package. And I don't believe that's true at all. I think a lot of it has to do with the quality of work, the values in the company, the quality of what they produce, long-term opportunities. Most people don't do enough work on the front end of that to distinguish themselves in the eyes of the applicant and also distinguish the applicant in terms of setting that standard. So I like to literally have that document, sometimes even give it to an applicant or at least use it internally, ought to speak to mission and vision and those kinds of things. And, you know, it may sound a little pie in the sky, but we're really trying to determine right off the bat, you know, are we going to be pulling in the same direction? And so that's where I like to start the process.
So I really love the idea of some kind of a test. I know one company that I've worked with, they have a test and they email it to a potential project manager who also a little bit of a lead carpenter project manager hybrid. And they say, hey, you know, answer these questions and send it back. And they've had people say, hey, I'm not interested because, you know, had to take a test. And then other people that took it and did great and became great project managers for them. So it's one way that they kind of weed people out as well. Mm-hmm. Give us a little bit of your insight on, I guess, outside input. And this, you know, references have always been baffling to me because I've only had one time when someone gave me a reference and then that reference gave them a bad reference. You know, most everybody's only going to give you a reference if they feel like it's going to be a positive experience. And so, but any other kind of insight in terms of outside input that maybe we should be looking for in terms of hiring or not hiring?
Well, I think it's great when an applicant can come to you by virtue of somebody that refers them. I think when we're putting feelers out for positions that we'd like to fill, letting folks, you know, whether it's, you know, where we get our supply from or other people in the industry, those kinds of things, because they tend to have a sense of, boy, this would be a really good fit, or boy, this is someone Tim would not put up with, or, you know, whatever it might be. Right. But I also think, you know, in terms of encouraging folks when you're going through that process, you know, I'll say, you know, I saw some of the references that you gave me here. I'm really interested in some, you know, you spoke about project management. Who could I talk to that really experienced that? You know, sometimes we only take the references they put down on the first application. Doesn't mean we can't ask for more insight as to someone that may be able to steer them in a particular, you know, direction or address something specifically. So, I like to do that as well.
So I had a situation come up not too long ago with a company that was thinking of hiring someone that had left another company. And you may not know this, and just say if you don't know, but is it illegal for me to call a previous company and ask why that person was terminated?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. Okay. But I think you have to have some authorization from them.
Okay.
It's tough. And one thing people should remember about any kind of HR law, it is different in every state.
Right.
And these are, you know, especially for folks that have never done an interview before, nothing scarier sometimes than being in an interview with somebody and, sometimes not knowing what they can and can't say.
Right.
And for example, one of the most common things I hear people say is, well, I know I'm not supposed to talk about such and such, but they brought it up, so that makes it okay. Nope, it does not. Having a good idea of just the basic fundamentals of hiring and the jurisdiction you're in is, you know, important too.
Yeah. So do you have any faith in some of these like DISC profiles and the others that are available out there?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we use the DISC profile, and that's a big part of what we look at when we go through the hiring process. You know, I think a lot of it comes down to making sure that it's not just a number or a description or something that's, you know, stands on its own. It's got to be married up to what you're trying to accomplish. So if we create a profile for what we want and compare it, great. If we know what has worked successfully for us or, you know, in that position before, That's fantastic. What I kind of think doesn't work is when people just say, well, I know to be a good, you know, such and such, you need this profile, and try to fit the profile to just that job description. To me, that's much too broad. I've met funeral home directors with great personalities and really effective salespeople that were much quieter. So I think it really depends on what their, you know, how it fits in the overall strategy of the company.
All right. So let's suppose we've found this person that we think is really going to work out well. And again, it doesn't matter what the role is, project manager, production manager, whatever. Talk a little bit about the onboarding, because it just feels to me like a lot of people are still having the experience that I had when I joined a company as a production manager. It's like, wow, we're glad you're here. Here's your computer. Here's your office. You know, let us know if you need anything. And, you know, I love my former bosses. They're great people. But it just felt like I didn't get brought into what they wanted me to do. I got to make my own job, which in some ways is cool, but right. But I may not have been the production manager that they needed, because it wasn't I wasn't onboarded, I guess. So what are some of your thoughts about that?
Yeah. So I think onboarding is as critical as any other part of the process. And, you know, we kind of talk about the hiring continuum, right? The things that have to happen before a good hire, like the planning and things like that we were talking about. And then after that really is the onboarding process. And I think a lot of really good potential candidates sometimes don't turn out to be great employees because the onboarding process isn't what it could be. And so to that end, you know, what we really want to do is map out very carefully what that first 60 or 90 days looks like. I always tell people, you know, we would want to get to the end of a period of time. And, you know, it's kind of similar, Tim, to the punch list, right? We know what we want to have at the end of the process. So at the end of 90 days, I want a candidate that knows certain things, that knows how to do certain things. A lot of times it's interesting. We'll get to the end of 60 or 90 days, and we haven't really tested that that's happening. We've exposed them to a lot of things. We've had them ride along, sit along. I don't know what you learned from a ride along other than that someone didn't fall out of the truck, right? So really what you want is someone that you say, okay, well, after that, what did you see? What did you learn? How would you approach that? And it's interesting. So we'll give out a schedule for somebody that's onboarding somebody and say, okay, let's lay out how they're going to spend their first 60 days. And they get through the first three or four, and then it's like, well, it's very difficult to plan that far in advance. And it's like, okay, we just agreed this was a critical hire. We went through this really extensive process to find the right person. We're going to pay them a lot of money, and we're giving it 6 or 7 days of controlling things. And so it's not unusual, and I know you've seen this many places. You know, we go in to do something like process improvement, and someone says, well, what is our process for such and such? And person A says this, and person B says that. Well, if I train with person A today and person B tomorrow, I don't even choose one of their systems. I create a version of my own, right? So now we have three different versions. And so it makes it very difficult. I've also had business owners say, well, I want them, you know, to follow our culture and believe the things that we believe and, you know, those kinds of things. And it's like, well, how much of that did you control early on? Or did you just say, go ride with so-and-so? And sometimes it may be someone whose influence, you know, isn't the greatest either. And so I think really being able to map it out and say, okay, we're going to very methodically say, you're going to do 3 days of this. Then we're going to put you on, you know, builder trend or co-construct. You're going to learn these skills. Then you're going to go back. You're going to do this, that, and the other. At the end of 30 days, you're going to come in. You're going to sit down. You're going to show me what you've learned. Because I think the very best candidates feel let down when there's not a good onboarding and management process. They feel disappointed in the organization they just joined. And I think also sometimes we're so happy to fill a position that we do the you're saving my life thing, where we say, Tim, I am so happy you're here. I've never really understood production, and I know you're the greatest at it. So just save my life and I'll stay out of your way. That gives you an awful lot of latitude on day three in my company, right? Yeah. And yeah. So what we want to do is have some balance of saying, hey, we know where we're going. We're glad you're here. Before you start changing things or adapting things, the first thing we ask you to do is truly understand that we've done some things successfully before you got here. learn what they are. We'll be absolutely open to changes and ideas, but you got to know where we're coming from first and then really put those challenges out there. A rigorous 60 to 90 day onboarding process is, you know, it's the same as the importance of boot camp in the military. It's like, we got to get you up to speed. We got to get you on board. We got to know what you can do. And then we'll put you out there to do those things, right, that you really want to do.
Yeah, I think just so important, all this information, because I know in general, even in 90 days, you don't get exposed to everything that you're going to get exposed to. So I think what you want to do is have somebody exposed to as many different components of what their job requires that as they can. And do you have any thoughts on having like in the production world, you have a lead carpenter system, like one of your lead carpenters is the trainer, and that everybody else can just go do their work, and that one person is thought about, like, how do I train this person in all the components within our company? Any thoughts about doing that?
Yeah, I think that's important on the production side and really the office side. And it's not always by function. Training itself is a skill, right? Yeah. And so being a good trainer is something that we ought to identify amongst the team. And some of it not only is not about just providing information, but it's about that evaluation and that two-way communication. And so if you've got someone in an organization that's a great trainer, it's like finding out that someone that you know, brought in for sales can also do design. That's a skill you want to designate for them to really take the lead on, I think.
Yeah. That's really cool. So I warned everybody that we were going to kind of let everybody know about a new program for RA. So what is the new hiring program that we've got coming out, and what should people know about that?
I mean, I'd really rather talk about my new movie with Will Ferrell, but I'll talk about the Hiring Edge if you want. So the Hiring Edge is a program that we've put together. It's based on the theories and competencies and capabilities that come out of the DISC assessment with an assessment called Trimetrics. So it looks at not only personality and attributes, but competencies as well. And really the process is a matter of working with a coach, which oftentimes will be me, but to sit down and figure out, first of all, what we want in the position. Then we take that position and we use the assessment to create a profile specific to that position by having different people on the team actually take the assessment for that position. From that, we create a profile. And then when we get narrowed down to one or two candidates, we can either compare those in terms of who most lines up or best lines up with what we were looking for, or if we have it really down to one, something that provides more of a gap analysis to say, we're strong here, but these would be some areas that we want to explore a little more fully. That's sort of the base version of the Hiring Edge. And then there's one more facet that's also adds an onboarding component, which says once we decide to make the hire, then we translate those assessments into a kind of a coaching report, and we lay out an onboarding process so that first 90 days is not random at all. Okay. And so it really allows us to be able to say, we're going to use the tool, we're going to use the philosophies, but we're also not going to require that business owner that's having to do so many different things to stop and become an HR expert or a hiring expert any more than they want to be a QuickBooks expert or a graphic design expert, right?
So would people get in touch with you if they're interested in seeing about this process? Or
absolutely. We have some information on the RA website on the Hiring Edge, and people can always get time with me by going to www.15minuteswithdoug.com, which gives them an opportunity to get on my calendar. My wife says that's an excessive amount of time to spend with me, but other people seem to be okay. Yeah.
Well, your wife should know. So, all right. Well, this has been fantastic, Doug. I appreciate you taking a little bit of time, you know, out of your day to just, again, this is just like just barely scraping the surface on a lot of hiring things. And I just encourage people, dig in. There's no substitute for doing this very, very well, because it's going to make the difference over the long haul. So, I just appreciate you taking some time, Doug.
My pleasure. I always like hanging out with you guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Doug. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
So Tim, there's so many things. This is so important. One thing that really stood out, and kind of have to work backwards now, but having someone who knows how to train is just so important, because it's not something that's innate. You know, it's not just natural to us. So somebody that really knows how to train, and there's a lot of layers to that as well. You know, people, there's a competitive nature to that. These people are training people in a small organization. So that's one thing. But keeping in mind the next hire and the onboarding process, we covered a lot of really strong pieces of the puzzle today, because it's a big puzzle. And people get it wrong all the time.
And there are several things that Doug mentioned that I kind of had in my head, but he gave them feet, you know, and I think that's an important part of what we do, is kind of give some feet to ideas. But this idea, I mean, I've heard a number of people say, we were interviewing this person for this job, but they're really going to be better at this job.
Yeah.
But quite often people are not looking 2 to 3 years ahead to figure out, like, what positions are we going to need in case I run into somebody. I think one of the things that we didn't answer is how do you, maybe we'll get Doug on to have a little bit more conversation another time, but how do I know I'm going to be ready? I mean, if I find a guy or a gal that's going to be a great production manager, but I'm not looking for that for another year, how do I hire them now, pay them, and actually incorporate them into the business without running a real risk of putting myself in financial jeopardy? So there's still some questions out there that we can tackle. But I, you know, another thing that he mentioned that I just felt really good about was making sure that in the hiring process, there's some kind of test. And I'm not only talking about a written test, but thinking about, like, what could I put in front of this applicant that would challenge them enough to let me know that they're what I want? And we've all heard, you know, don't just ask yes or no questions, but how we ask questions is part of it. Developing scenarios that you are faced with this, what will you do? And develop it enough where it's not just an easy answer. Things like that. And like I mentioned, this company that has a test, a written test. And I'm kind of a big proponent of that, especially for lead carpenter and project manager, because there's going to be a lot of writing involved in those roles. And if people won't do it, no matter how good their carpentry skills are, they're not going to make a good lead carpenter or project manager.
Yeah, well, we're forever promoting. It's, you know, part of what we do is promoting the professional side of running a remodeling business. So when you give someone a written test, you're setting the tone of an organization that really cares about, you know, growing a company.
Definitely.
So, yeah, well, once again, we would like to thank Doug Howard for joining us today. And we always want to thank you for listening to another episode of The Tim Fowler Show.
And remember, at The Tim Fowler Show, we're working hard to eliminate that nasty, nasty phrase, "it is what it is," from your vocabulary.
This has been another episode of The Tim Fowler Show. Want to hire Tim and fast-track your growth? Visit remodelersadvantage.com/consulting to learn more. And if you'd like more information about roundtables, our world-class peer advisory program, please send me an email at steve@remodelersadvantage.com. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the show and comment on iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.